Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol Sports Radio 810 WHB. We got Nate Buchanan. It's very rare that we got everybody in studio these days for this segment. Marco's here. Nate's here. I'm here.
Here.
Gary Dieter's here. Anthony Sherman's here. And it's already been a crazy morning. You know, I'm talking to a buddy of mine in the commercial break. He's all fired up, you know. He almost got into a fight at Starbucks. Some jerk off was backing up without looking and almost hit him and then wanted to get cute. So I don't know what was going on.
I heard that too.
Yeah.
I heard that. I might have been on the other end really? Of that with
yeah,
with
well,
someone
I was
else.
The what I happened? Was the one I was the one backing up.
What?
I was the guy backing up. Some guy just come so the car stops for me.
What are you talking
so
about?
So I'm backing up and this other car just comes flying through the parking lot, honks at me. I'm like, "Buddy, I just waited 15 minutes for my coffee, like, come on, buddy, like, we gotta go. I'm about to be late for the boys."
Yeah, but the thing is, like, you always talk about fighting people, like, get out and fight.
Starbucks parking lot's not the place to fight. Too many phones.
Oh, if you want
to
fight in the studio, but you don't want to fight.
Too many high school cell phones. Too much footage.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. To
I
watch.
Mean, I walk. Yeah, it would be kind of
cool. That thing will be posted on Fight Haven in a minute.
I mean, you yeah, there is. You walk into Starbucks on 151st and Black Bob. I think between 7 and 8 in the morning. At least 40 people in there.
A lot of high school kids. A lot of high school
all
kids
high school.
At Starbucks.
We'll hear someone say, "World Star!"
Oh, yeah.
So,
see, high school kids shouldn't be drinking all that caffeine, right? Doesn't it stunt your growth?
That's what I said.
That's what I thought, but is that true?
I don't know.
What do you know?
My wife says it is. I believe everything she says.
It is.
Well, no,
my
grandpa
used to say that.
Well, yeah, I just think...
R.I.P.
I just don't know if they want you to have it.
Yeah, I don't think it actually really... does. They just don't want to share it with the kids.
You just don't want your kids up all night?
Right.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't want my kids on any more
right.
caffeine.
Stunt your growth.
Were tempers flaring? And was, yeah. Did it get... Was it...
I mean, so...
What are we talking
that
about here?
That happens, then I go to the stoplight on 135th, and this car is just in the right lane. Nothing coming. Red light. It won't turn. So I give him a little...
Yeah.
A little honk.
A little wake me up.
And they go. And then I pull up, and they're doing their eyelashes in the next stop. Like, come on, man. We got to. Johnson County's got to be better.
No, that's well, it's not. Johnson County's not better.
It's got to be better in a lot of ways, man. A lot of ways.
Put that on
ways.
A shirt, Gary. Welcome to the club.
I will say this, though. You know, people are running late in the mornings, and so tempers get hot. And I learned that one time when I had some staycation time. Like, it was like time off from work, but I was home, so I was like, all right, I'm going to. I always hear my wife talk about how chaotic it is getting the kids to school, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so I get to this four-way stop by our school, and I was half asleep, and I didn't wait my turn. I went before the gal that it should have been her turn. She lays
you
on the horn, and I waved.
That's
illegal. Like, I realized as soon as I did it, I waved apologetically, you know, like, oh, my bad, you know, trying to, hey,
that wasn't good enough,
put my
was
hand
it?
Up. She is laying on the horn. She pulls up next to me with her cell phone out recording me, flipping me off.
As she
and
should.
Screaming at me, and I'm like, hey,
she's
you know,
totally
sorry.
Justified.
You broke a law.
You can't.
I mean,
and
you can't mess around with the school line, dude.
Whoa.
would you?
I did not expect that coming from the Volkswagen Jetta, you know?
Would you pull him over for that?
For what?
Running
he
the,
said he didn't
running
wait
the four-way
turn.
Stop, not waiting my turn at the four-way stop.
That's illegal.
I mean, I don't know if it's illegal, but...
What county were you in? Bourbon County?
I was in Johnson right. County, man. You know,
you're good, man.
These people don't take the drop-off line as very serious business. You know?
No, those drop-off lines can get heated.
Yeah.
Like, you don't move fast
around.
Enough, there's honks.
Yeah,
yeah.
There needs to be a better system for that.
They revamped the whole deal at St. Gabe's, and I was, you know... And so, because the lines go out onto the street, and it was a hazard. So now, they had the line go through the parking lot and into the church and everything else. But so people still that don't want to wait in the line come from the back, you know, from the street into where you pick up the kids and want to cut like 30 people that, and everyone knows that this is the line. But then they want to go, oh, yeah. You know, let me cut in here.
Why don't schools open up more than one entrance?
I don't know, so like when I'm picking up the kids, I'm like, I'm not letting them in.
Right.
And my wife says, just let them in. I go, no! No, because we have to police ourselves in this pickup line. Okay? They got to know they can't do this. But my wife says, I'll just let them in. Yeah. No. That's what they want. They're preying on someone's kindness.
Right.
And I'm not kind.
Don't mistake that kindness for weakness.
You got to police yourselves like this.
I usually just drop off like on the other backside of the school and then we walk in. You know, we can walk a little bit. It's no big deal to us. But I was going around the outside, but I ran through that. I didn't wait my turn at the stop sign, and this lady was ready. I mean, she was ready to.
I bet you you're pretty spot on when you do it now.
Like, oh, hey, man, I'm alert at that intersection.
You might let
sure.
someone else go just to make sure there's no issues.
I don't want any problems.
You guys want to hear the story when Nate went to go pick up his kids and he was out vomiting and everyone thought he was a drunk picking up his kids? He's out there puking.
I would love to hear that story.
Tell it.
All right, so we had a guy here. What was that guy's name?
What are you talking about?
That came up with this whole thing. He was like, you guys are going to do the Pocky Chip Challenge.
Remember the one chip challenge at Pocky Chip that was super hot?
Everyone
was
I'm
ordering
not doing
mail
that.
Order everything.
Yeah.
Poke, but.
Yeah. What is it?
Poke.
Where do you hear that? I don't trust you and your pronunciation
Pocky.
Of anything.
We're not talking about eating a poke.
I wonder where you get that from.
We're in Kansas, buddy. It's Pocky.
Okay, is that right?
I think he's. I don't.
Is it? No, you're smiling. Where do you get that from?
I'll check.
Okay, well, I don't know. Whatever. The one chip challenge, right?
It's spelled P-A-Q-I-E, and you're telling me that's poke?
Poke.
Sounds like pocket.
Whatever. So my, you know what? I grew up, my mother, you know, mother's side of the family's from Mexico. I grew up eating hot things, so I felt, I'm confident I could do this. At the time, our producer, Jake, he's Mexican, he felt confident. And Nate does enjoy very hot foods. And he felt very confident about this as well.
Well, as I remembered, I was like, well, I don't want to do this because I like spicy food, but I don't want to hurt. I don't want it to cause me pain.
So we all got in there.
But they didn't give us a choice like, oh, hey, do you guys want to do this? Are you guys going to do this?
And this guy that used to work in promotions, his head was videoing everything, right? To document this.
Yeah.
Put it on the.
He's recording it with an iPad.
And so we all read the instructions and what was said several times is whatever you do after handling the chip, do not touch your eyes.
Right.
That was said over and over again. Okay, so we all
Fair
knew
enough.
That.
It was going to be, we had to eat the chip, and then they put like a glass of milk in front of each one of us, and it was who could last the longest without drinking the milk. And so we eat this thing, and of course, Steven and Jake, they might as well have eaten just like a regular Cool Ranch Dorito. They're not even sweating. They're just, they're
but
nothing.
But it got
like,
me later
no,
on.
No reaction whatsoever.
It didn't get me going in.
I mean, immediately.
Coming out, it was a rough night. I promise
you that. Sweat's just pouring down my face. And yes, I took my glasses off.
He's sweating
and I wiped
profusely.
Some of the sweat off
and
my
he,
eyes.
And he goes
stupidly.
Into the kitchen. He's, and
so my eye is just burning like crazy. It's like my eye is on fire. And I go in, and I'm and my mouth is in pain. Everything's in pain. I'm not enjoying this process. And I go into the little break room there, and I'm trying to rinse my eye out with some water. And this dude is following me with the iPad, and he's like right up in my face with the iPad.
This is the content we
want.
You want that content.
Yeah, it's the
and
content
I don't usually get as testy as Garrick does here
right.
at the parking lot.
In
I'm usually the guy that tries to cool things down.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I looked at this guy and said, dude, if you don't get that iPad out of my effing face, I'm going to break it over your head.
And I was like, ooh, I'm watching.
This
and
is
the
real
this
deal.
Is what we
yeah.
want to see
he
here.
He can tell that I meant
to get this kind of content.
He left.
Did he take, yeah. he took it away?
And so then he goes.
So I had that day I had already scheduled to take lunch to my daughter at grade school. You can like, you know, you can bring lunch and have mm-hmm. lunch with your daughter. So I'm sitting there with her. We're having our little Jimmy John's or whatever we're having. And it's about an hour or two after this Pocky is in the process of digesting in my stomach. And it literally felt like a fire was burning, like was building slowly in my stomach, you know? And I start looking around and I realize, man, I gotta throw up. I like this thing's coming back up. And there's about 10 minutes left in the lunch period. And I look to the bathroom, and it's one of, like, the grade school bathroom is one of those ones where the doors don't close, you know?
Yeah.
You just, like, walk around and yeah. I'm like, everybody's going to hear me throwing up in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And so, and I'm like, I'm just counting down the minutes till lunch is over. And finally, there's still about 5 minutes left in lunch. I just kissed my daughter on the forehead and said, sweetheart, daddy's got to go. And I get up, and I got my butt clenched and everything, and I'm doing that fast walk thing, you know, to try to get upstairs. And I'm trying to sign out, and the ladies at the front desk are super nice. They're like, how was lunch with Ophelia? And I was like, yep, good, gotta go. And I make it out about halfway into the parking lot, and I just start throwing up.
Wow.
And there's, like, teachers walking in.
like, look at this wino coming in trying to have lunch with his kids.
Wow.
Sweating and throwing up.
Are you allowed back there?
He got put on the list. He can't have lunch.
You're not allowed to bring lunch to your daughter anymore. So
the moral of the story is if you see Gary get Starbucks, you look out.
Yeah.
They'll out of the way.
Just don't get in my way, buddy.
Yeah. All
right. It wasn't your fault at all.
You didn't.
You look. You just back out. You don't care. You just back out. You hit. Or was
it their fault? I look left. And then I looked right, and the car to the right stopped completely. So I'm backing out. They're letting me go.
All right.
And this car just comes zooming in. I mean,
dude, I'm going to wait out at the Starbucks. Just wait for them to call out Garrick's drink and just come and swipe
it from what is the proper etiquette when you're in a parking lot like that and someone starts to back up? Do you stop and let them go, or do you say, hey, wait, no, you got to wait for me to drive by because I'm already in motion?
Depends.
I let them back out, usually.
Depends. I mean, half the time, the people just, I mean, especially those school parking lots, they just start. Not even look, they just start backing up.
Yeah, it's a wild, wild
someone
west.
Someone stops for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every man or woman for themselves. All right. Are you surprised that Mecole Hardman signed with the Jets for 1 year for a contract that could be worth $6.5 million, considering the Chiefs still had a need at wide receiver?
I would say no. I don't think the Chiefs, I think you could tell from last year that the Chiefs didn't really want to use him in that Tyreek role. I think they wanted to keep him what they were using him in the previous years, those jet sweeps, kind of just get the ball in his hands, behind the line of scrimmage type deal.
They went Tony in the Tyreek role, or at least try to use him that way.
I think you'll see that a little bit more this year for sure. But I don't know. I think he's young enough where a one-year contract for him could be a really good thing, going somewhere new and hopefully getting some opportunity to run some more routes. And obviously you're going to probably be playing with Aaron Rodgers, so that will benefit him as well. But the Jets receivers are kind of, they're sneaky. That's a sneaky good receiving core right now.
Yeah, and they traded Elijah Moore right after they signed Hardman to the Browns. What about you, Anthony? Are you surprised that he signed for just a one-year deal?
No. I mean, I think a lot of the guys that are probably going to get contracts at this point in free agency are going to be one-year deal. Prove it, and then go test the market next year, and hopefully, you know, they think it's better or whatever. Their value will go up with that 1 year of experience. And then it's, for him, obviously, he probably thought, like, my market's not where it is because of the role that they had me in. So if he values himself higher, then he's going to go somewhere that maybe they gave him that opportunity to say, hey, you're going to be the guy that, you know, runs those deep routes and runs the routes that you want to run. And he goes in there and he does well, and you know, maybe he'll get a big contract next year.
So this is more probably him wanting another opportunity than the Chiefs saying, nah, we're not interested anymore.
I don't think, it didn't feel like the Chiefs were interested.
Or it's both. Like he wanted a new opportunity and the Chiefs weren't interested, or it's more on the Chiefs side?
No, I think the Chiefs were probably interested, but at the price that they thought, like, you know, and not saying the maybe it was a, you know, 2-3 year deal for Mecole and it wasn't the money that he wanted, and the Chiefs were interested, they offered him, but at the same time he wanted to go prove himself somewhere else and get a bigger contract.
So now there's a lot of buzz, even more buzz, about the Chiefs and DeAndre Hopkins and Odell Beckham Jr. You're very cryptic in your comments last week. What do you know this week? Have you heard anything? Come on, Gary Dieter.
Haven't heard anything, but still feel confident in those two guys that one of them will be probably coming here.
Which one?
I don't know. I'm seeing more. They said Odell was asking for 15 to 20, which is kind of crazy. Like, I mean, obviously you're talented as anybody, but you can't be coming off an injury expecting to get paid like that. And that's the thing that confuses me about NFL guys is, I mean, everybody expects to be making top dollar, but you have to be real with yourself on kind of where you stand in the market. And I just don't understand why everybody thinks that they should be getting like top level money. I feel like there's only 30 to 40 NFL guys that are probably worth that money, and everybody else is really replaceable. So it feels like those contracts need to just kind of calm down a little bit, especially a guy, like I said, coming off injury. I would feel confident giving Odell like maybe 7 a year, maybe some incentive to get him to 10 to 12 a year. And then DeAndre, I mean, what kind of contract would you give him, Sherm? Would you feel good giving him 15 million?
Well, I don't know. Like, he's going to be traded, so they'd have to, if they couldn't get a deal done with him that he'd want, then they're going to get, if they do end up making the trade, and then with the thought of, like, redoing the deal, you're going to get stuck with that cap hit, and I don't know what it is, but you're going to get stuck with that where Odell, you can actually make the contract and make it a team-friendly deal, but give him the money that he needs, stuff like that. And the D-Hop one, he's going to have to be given whatever it is.
So I think that if you're going to trade for DeAndre Hopkins, they got to agree verbally to some kind of structure of a redo on his contract. Because right now he's still got 2 years left. And if you pick him up, the cap hit this year would be $19.45 million. And that is... What was it that Albert Breer said, Stephen? The Chiefs have about $10 million in cap space right now, and that's before they sign their draft class.
Right.
They can work some things to change their cap situation a little bit. But
well, and that's without the Chris Jones extent, right? I mean,
yeah, they haven't done anything with Chris Jones yet.
They haven't done anything with Chris
Jones
yet.
They got some moves to make, eh? Oh, man.
Well, I everyone probably saw his tweet about being a Chief for life, and I was expecting maybe
something
like the next couple of days, like you hear something, and it's been nothing. So I don't know what's going on there. Maybe he did already agree to something, and he hasn't come back to sign it or for them to make it official or whatever.
So here's the comparison that people are pointing to. Brandon Cooks was traded to the Dallas Cowboys, and at the time he was traded, he was due $32 million through 2024. They gave up a fifth and a sixth round pick, and then they reworked his deal to 2 years, $20 million, $12 million guaranteed, and the 2023 cap number is $6 million. Houston paid him $6 million as well, so he ends up getting $18 million guaranteed this year. But they reworked the deal. There's similar money that was owed to both of them, and so that's kind of an interesting comparison. And then the trade value, people have said that the Cardinals originally wanted a second-round pick, and another asset, and now they know they're not going to get that, so it's coming down. It's going to be closer to what they gave up for Brandon Cooks. What if it's something similar to that, where DeAndre Hopkins says, look, I want a ring, I'll renegotiate, and it's something closer to what the Cowboys are paying Brandon Cooks now and what they gave up. Maybe it's a fourth-round pick, and they rework that deal. That seems like that would make sense.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I don't know the cap situation and really all of the back behind it, but like, if it makes sense to the Chiefs and it makes sense to the team and doesn't put him in a hole for next year or something like that, whatever it is, I think it's fine. I mean, he's still a hell of a receiver.
Wipe everything else out. Who's the better guy? Who would help this team more, Odell Beckham Jr. or DeAndre Hopkins?
See, that's the – I don't – I mean, I think they both help out. I think
that's D-Hop, not what he asked. He wants
D-Hop, D-Hop is –
he's on your ass like this. He gets all fired up at Starbucks, and now he's taking it out on you.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't want this. Well, I mean, it's going to be like the Starbucks line. Well, he just sits in his car and
what do you mean?
And yells on the phone. Well. But, no, I think D-Hop could really help, you know, the deep ball and the red zone – jump ball situations and stuff like that. I think that he's got a unique skill to do that.
What was it you said about him earlier, Stephen?
He's open when he ain't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that.
And he's not coming off injury. So, like, not saying Odell can't be wonderful next year, but he's not coming off that injury. And that's the second. I mean, Odell's had two of them in the last couple of years.
Yeah, so but you just worry Odell about, hasn't played football in what, since last January, the previous year? Yeah, or last February, so he'd probably be fairly healthy by season start.
You would think. You just get
or, or he's lost a step. I feel like a lot of times guys, that when we say that about guys that have been gone for a while, we say, oh, he's going to be fresh. And then they come back and they're just, they don't seem as explosive as they used to be. I feel like that's more common with running backs. Maybe it's different with a wide receiver. I don't know how many times a wide receiver's done it, but, you know, it's like the margin for what makes you an explosive player in the NFL, and what makes you like yesterday's news is that small.
Yeah,
you know?
It's extremely small. Yeah, that'd be. I mean, that's great. You don't really get to see it with routes on air in his workout where, you know, everyone looks pretty good. I don't know many guys that, you know, NFL receivers that don't look good on routes on air compared to in a game. And who knows if Odell or D-Hop can really gel and understand the offense and how what they need out of them.
I would take Odell.
Role. No one asked you, but okay.
I would take Odell. Ooh. Cheaper and more upside at this point in his career.
Yeah, but no one asked.
I think he fits in the offense a little more, too.
Yeah, you already said that last week.
I'm just reiterating.
You're reiterating, okay.
We'll take a break. Think about that for a moment. Yeah. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It's No Hangovers May with Greenlight Dispensary. Enjoy their flower specials all month long by visiting one of their 4 KC area locations. Or check out their AI bud tenders at greenlightdispensary.com. That's greenlightdispensary.com. It's No Hangovers May with Greenlight Dispensary. Enjoy their flower specials all month long by visiting one of their 4 KC area locations. Or check out their AI bud tenders at greenlightdispensary.com. That's greenlightdispensary.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So last week, Garrett, I was pretty sure you were a Creighton guy, not K-State?
No, still Creighton, but I really enjoy watching those K-State videos of the coach getting fired up in the locker room with the dance.
You like that?
It's hilarious. I probably watched that one video, I don't know, at least 30 times and still think it's funny. I want to do a spoof of it.
You can make it happen.
Coach Tang is awesome. Speaking of coaches, did you see your old coach Nick Saban and his comments this week?
I did see that.
What was your reaction to that?
Spoken like a true champion, man.
Yeah?
I mean, I feel like he never misses when he hits those press conferences. He always knows what he's going to say and gets the right message out. I know it contradicted what the basketball coach said, but, I mean, Coach Saban's right. There's really not such thing as the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. You put yourself in situations, and like he said, you have to face the consequences when things go wrong. And obviously, something like that would happen with that. I think he's a freshman. I mean, that's just unacceptable.
I mean, he said it to he was, I think, obviously was specifically saying that because of what the basketball coach said.
I feel like
to make him look bad.
Yeah, I feel like he had to
smart.
He had to make a stance that they didn't make because the university probably got so much. I mean, the university got so much backlash from the situation, and now he has to be the next guy up there talking, and he's the face of Alabama. So I feel like
whatever he says is going to go.
Well, I just feel like he is the kind of the end all be all there. Like you got that many national championships,
he runs the state.
I mean, people are going to like Alabama again off of that statement and ignore the basketball program.
I saw that he went and spoke to the basketball team like yesterday or the day before. So,
oh, really?
I saw a picture of it, and it looked like him and the coach were buddy-buddy. So,
well, that's what it looks like in the media, bud. Who knows what's going on behind closed doors?
I mean, Nick's not a guy that's going to fake it, so.
No, you don't think so?
No.
It's not Coach Saban to you, it's Nick.
Nick.
You're going to text him and say Nick? Or you're going to say Coach?
You got to text him, he'll go to somebody else, and then they'll take the phone to him.
Oh, wow. He's that kind of guy. Okay.
He is.
There's a Dieter line.
Buddy, I mean, he's a busy guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right, I guess. If that's how you want to be with players that you've helped develop, and, you know, who knows, maybe he's had a bigger role model to some of those kids, and they look at him like his their dad, and then they can't even text. They can't even text him. And
I bet you, if I was there for 4 years, like it'd probably be a little different story. But I mean, I was literally there for 6 months, so it's hard to really establish.
He probably doesn't. You could see him. He probably wouldn't even know who you were. Huh?
No, he would know me because we're Yankee fans. So,
oh, okay. That's so you wanted to be like him, so that's why you like the Yankees.
No, but okay. I mean, when two great people have something common like that, it's just, it really bonds you.
Okay.
So you're a baseball guy. Did you like the WBC?
I did. We were watching the final in here during our show on Tuesday, and yeah, I enjoy it. I think it's obviously good for baseball. It gets more eyes on it. I think Trout can't deal with the pressure because he plays in L.A. with no pressure at all times. Guy stinks. He needs to go to New York.
Wow.
Would you take him with the Yankees?
You just said he stinks, but now you want him on your team?
He needs to play in those high-pressure situations. Yeah. You could clearly tell he's never been in that situation, and that's something you're going to play in on a yearly basis with the Yankees.
Oh, okay.
As opposed to L.A., where you wake up and it's sunny and you don't have any worries in the world.
Only time he made the playoffs, he got swept by the Royals.
That's right.
He didn't really do much that series, either.
No.
That's what I'm saying. He's not used to that pressure, and I think a player of his stature needs to be in a situation where he's in the playoffs every single year.
He's from Connecticut, too, isn't he?
I think he's an Eagles guy, so I know he's a...
I thought he was from Jersey.
Is he Jersey? Okay.
He's an East Coast guy.
Yeah. East Coast guy.
But, yeah. I mean, I think it's cool. I think seeing Ohtani, his greatness show... I still think Ohtani can't deal with the pressure either, because I remember him pitching at Yankee Stadium and he walked like 8 batters in one inning.
Why do you think Yankee Stadium has that much pressure?
Like, it does.
No, like
you ask any,
just Yankee Stadium, dude.
But you ask any baseball player where the most pressure is, it's New York. You're gonna get if you go. Let's give Aaron Judge. This guy hits 62 home runs. He strikes out 2 times in a game. You're getting booed, buddy.
Yeah, that doesn't mean pressure. That means just terrible
that is
fans.
Pressure. No, that's great.
Like I'm gonna flip on my player and just start booing him because from the East Coast and that's how I act.
Go look at the quotes from Derek Jeter back in the day. Like
I'm just saying,
they expect greatness on a daily basis. And
any of those guys. The worst part is you have no idea the fans that none of them they could all be bums.
Haven't they
their player to be top.
No,
notch.
I'm the same way. If a guy strikes out, Aaron
no, I know. I've listened
out,
to you.
Him.
I know you are.
Haven't they kind of lost their luster though, the Yankees, because they keep flopping in the postseason? Or?
Yes.
I say as long as Aaron Boone's there, yeah, they don't have that edge. Aaron Boone's too nice. Like, buddy, you got guys. Aaron Hicks, as an example, this guy is not giving any effort out there on the defensive side, and he stinks at the plate. Like, buddy, we got to go. Like, we got to get somebody else in there, somebody with some grit, man. Somebody that, like, players are afraid of when they come back to the dugout. We got Aaron Boone sitting at the top step, just giving a high five after he makes 2 errors and strikes out 5 times in the game. Come on, man. It's unbelievable.
I mean, I'd love to see.
I'd send him right back to the locker room. Say, buddy, pack your bags. You're out. I'm tired of seeing this.
So I'd love to see Gehrig get in the box on a major league pitcher.
I would love to do that as well.
We can make that happen.
I'd just love to see when he strikes out looking.
That's fine. Buddy, it's not my job, though. I'm not saying I could do it better than them. I'm saying if you're at the major league level, there's a standard. Well, Aaron Hicks, I'm just giving him as a prime example because he's the worst one.
You don't like him.
He's the worst. Bad attitude, bad body language.
You know the guy?
No. I know he's kind of a dirtbag, though.
Oh, how do you know that?
Wow.
There's some stories I'll tell you off air.
Oh, okay. Wow. Inside information for everything.
It's really
not
inside because everybody knows about it if you're a Yankees guy. But, yeah, I don't know. They got to be better. To your point, yeah, I think they have lost something. I think opposing teams don't feel that pressure the same that they used to.
We have Gary Dieter and Anthony Sherman in the studio. And one free agent addition that I wanted to ask you about is the Chiefs signed linebacker Drew Tranquil from the Chargers to a 1-year deal. And he had a really good year last year, 144 tackles, 5 sacks. Has a reputation of being a really good coverage linebacker. But it almost felt like overkill because the Chiefs have invested a lot in the linebackers recently. But some people have suggested that he is going to take snaps away from Willie Gay. So do you think he was brought in just because, hey, it's a good price, he's a good player, they still need a guy that can you know provide good coverage at the linebacker spot and just gives them another weapon on defense? Or do you think that he is being brought in eventually to maybe take some snaps away from Willie Gay because they haven't been exactly happy with his play?
I think it's going to be more so special teams. I think he was his first year with the Chargers. I think he was a really, really good special teams player, and I think that's something that the Chiefs are going to address this offseason is that they need some 4-phase guys that are some absolute dogs on special teams, and I think he fills that role. And I think, obviously, he's going to rotate in with the linebackers. And, yeah, he might take a couple snaps away, but I think especially the more experienced Willie gets, I mean, this is his, what, fourth year? I think he's going to have a lot of confidence playing at a high level and playing fast. And I think it's more special teams.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. I think it's special teams and added depth to the linebacker core. You know, you lost Willie for a couple games last year, and you didn't really have a guy that was established enough to go out there and really impact the game. So I think for special teams wise, like he said, it's going to be he's a four phase guy that can change a game with his coverage ability and his blocking up front and returns, and just give you another guy to go to if someone's banged up or a little hurt, guy that you can rely on and go out there and make some plays.
They also added Mike Edwards, formerly the Bucks, looks like to replace Juan Thornhill as a veteran third safety. And again, a reasonable deal, 1 year, $3 million. That could be a $5 million deal. You like that signing?
Yeah, I don't really know much about him, but I did see the tweet from somebody tweeted about him saying he's a true ball hawk. So I think that's a good sign.
And I think the Chiefs have done a good job of filling in the holes with reasonable deals like this in the past. And
yeah, I don't think you were going to pay Juan $8 million or what, $7 million a year here. I think, like you said, filling them with some deals that make sense on both ends is a little bit better for the Chiefs in the long run.
You know, I was looking at the Chiefs draft where let's see, what year was it from? 2019. That's not that long ago. Mecole Hardman, Juan Thornhill, Colin Saunders, Rashad Fenton, Darwin Thompson, and Allegretti. Only guy left is Allegretti.
Yeah.
It's like that every year almost, right?
Not every year, but I mean, I would like, you know, I'm super happy for Colin to go because he was just an awesome dude. So that one hurts a little bit, but the other ones, I think the Chiefs have made their minds up, you know, last couple years, and they're willing to move on and go on with a different route with those guys.
Right, like Thornhill played well enough to get a bigger deal from another team. So did Saunders. They traded Fenton. Hardman, we just talked about, signs a 1 year deal with the Jets, which is weird. But then Allegretti resigns. So it wasn't like there have been drafts where, like, say in 2018, Breland Speaks never made it. Right, Derek Nottie was good. Dorian O'Daniel, Armani Watts, Tremont Smith, Khalil McKenzie. I mean, that was not.
That wasn't a good one.
They will not, you know, utilize that draft. It's like, this is what we can do. Like,
even Pat's class wasn't that good. I mean, that was my class.
Okay, so Mahomes, Passanio was a second round pick. Kareem Hunt was a third round pick. Jehu Chesson.
Kid from Michigan.
Kume Elegwe. Leon McQuay.
Leon.
Any comments on Leon McQuay over there? Because I don't think anyone knows any idea who that is.
Yeah, I wouldn't have remembered that name.
I like Leon a lot. He was funny. I'm just laughing because it's like just the whole class is, I mean, that class was gone in, less than 2 years almost.
In 2020, I mean, like Clyde, he's going to be gone.
Like, seems like,
right?
It's,
I mean,
yeah.
But Willie Gay, he could be a
Willie's
long-term
good.
Well, this just shows that the NFL is extremely tough, and I think the league average for guys is 3.5 years or 3 years.
I think it's less than that.
I think it's 3 years to make it and stick around the NFL. So this is just a perfect example because everyone hears, you know, Tom Brady, Pat Mahomes, Travis Kelce, those big-name guys that everyone loves, and they stay and they play for 10, 15, you know, 20-something years. So it's one of those things where it proves that the NFL is extremely hard to stick around and make it long-term.
But, in 2020, Clyde's gone. Willie Gay, I say Lucas Niang, L'Jarius Sneed, Mike Dana. And just because those guys aren't on the team anymore, 2019, still they got a lot of production out of it. But it seems like the last two, like 2021, Bolton, mm-hmm. Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith, those are all guys, even Noah Gray, that could be here longer than their first contract. The last two drafts have been incredible.
You would like to think that they will be, but at the same time, it's only, 2 years removed from that, so who knows what happens. Those guys are still under contract, so you know if you're going to get value from them playing at a cheaper price, then they'll take it, and then you know see what happens when they get into free agency.
Nate, how's that turnaround compared to like Sporting KC in terms of is their draft kind of the same, or do players stick around as long as short as NFL guys?
Well, the thing, I mean, it's the draft has become almost irrelevant in Major League Soccer because you know they invest in their academy programs to the point where you develop your own players before they ever have a chance to get to the draft. Mm. So there's the draft has almost become just like this supplemental way to find some players that maybe went under the radar and went unnoticed as teenagers. But anymore, when you look at young players in Major League Soccer, they're signed at 15, 16, 17 years old, you know, to a professional contract and develop that way. So it's kind of hard to...
Do they stick around long?
Like, you mean like...
I think when I think of Sporting KC, I only think of like Johnny Russell, Zusi. But like other than that, are guys like there for more than the
NFL average? Sometimes like when a guy gets too good, then he's
the
gone.
European, right?
Yeah. He leaves.
Yeah, like Gianluca Busio, the Sporting sure would love to keep him, but it's also a moneymaker for them because they sell him for $10 million to a team in Italy. So it's like developing talent. Soccer is such a weird thing because, you know, you develop talent and part of it, that's like your money-making thing. Mm. You know, you sell the rights to somebody else and you make $20 million a year by selling young players to other teams and then you use that money to buy a player from another team and all that stuff. So, yeah, no, I mean, I would say, no, players don't last that long. I mean, it's very rare. Like Matt Beisler played for over 10 years with one team. Graham Zusi's been there for over 10 years. That's very rare. I think it's very transactional. You know, most of the contracts, I think, like when you see a contract in Major League Soccer, a five-year deal is a really long deal.
Right.
Like a really long deal. Most contracts, it's like it's a two-year deal or a three-year deal. And even then, it's like the last year or two of that deal is an option. You know kind of how in NFL, you're on a five-year contract, but it's really a series of 5 1-year contracts, right? Right. And the team has a lot of flexibility to walk away from it.
Oh, I mean, that's why we talked about, I think, last week that all you got to look at is the guaranteed money because other than that...
That's all funny money. Yeah.
It looks good on paper, but like there's a strong possibility you don't get it, or if you did and you don't have any guaranteed, you're going to get cut. And then, they might bring you back at a different price. But that's where it's like baseball. It's when you see these guys signing these contracts, it's like, okay, those are guaranteed contracts. So,
and that's why you never see baseball players hold out, by the way. You know, like when you see like in the NFL, a guy will hold out even though he's on a contract because he knows I got no leverage if I, you know, like, and so in Major League Baseball, a guy doesn't do that because I'm getting paid no matter what happens. I could go in the tank. I could be a terrible player. I could get hurt. I'm getting paid.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. That's the difference between, I mean, I think hockey is also not guaranteed either.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I will not claim to know the contract structure of the NHL.
I think it's hockey and football are the only ones that are not guaranteed.
You big hockey guy?
I mean, I like hockey.
Could you name half the teams?
Yeah, I mean, give me a, like, I'm not going to do it on
air.
I
know, I'm just asking.
I can't do it right now, but okay, give me a second.
No, okay.
Did you guys see this fishing competition that Chris Jones is in that's going to be on CBS?
I saw the list of the people, yeah. I think that's pretty funny.
The Catch. Justin Herbert, Tyreek Hill, A.J. Brown, Dalvin Cook, Matthew Judon, Patrick Surtain II, and Chris Jones.
Tyreek's going to win that thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You think that'll be entertaining?
Yeah, they got some good personalities. I think that will.
Yeah, but it's fishing.
What do you mean? Fishing's awesome.
To watch?
You see some of these bass they pull out of the lakes?
All right, I'm not on board with that. I don't think that's exciting.
The Catch will be broadcast live from boats, helicopters, and on site from down in the Fountain Blue in Miami Beach on Saturday, April 15th. You think it's going to be fun to watch? You think you don't care? You don't want to watch this?
So. No. Miami Beach is where this happens?
Down in Miami, yeah.
Okay, so they go out in the ocean, is deep sea fishing?
Well, yeah, that's, they got to fish in the water.
Well, I mean, there's a difference if it's deep sea fishing or if it's freshwater fishing.
The coastal waters off Miami will be the arena. The SFC's Billfish Championship.
Are you watching it, Anthony?
Yeah, I'll put it on. I mean, they play, like, you're going to, so you like watching golf?
No. I never said that.
Do you like watching the match?
See, I don't like watching golf, but I liked it when they had Mahomes mic'd up.
That's what I mean.
Like, that was fun to watch.
And I think this would be fun.
I think it's going to be. It's the same thing. It's very similar. Like, there's not a lot of people that can sit there and watch golf all day.
I can't. I don't watch golf all day.
I didn't say. I'm just saying there's not a lot of people that do.
The match was that good either.
So you watched it?
No, I watched it for 10 minutes and turned it off because it's boring.
Oh,
it wasn't their true personality.
Oh, you're right because you said it the other night. You're a YouTube guy. You can't. You don't have an intentions.
I'm a authentic guy. I like to see real. If I know the person, I want to see their real personality.
So you don't think Chris Jones would be authentic in this fishing competition? You're friends with Tyreek. You don't think he'll be authentic when he's out there fishing?
No, because they can't really. They can't be cussing and can't do what they normally would be doing.
Cussing like sailors out there on the sea.
That's right.
Yeah,
they can. Just I think bleep like that, it out.
But you're not. You don't
CBS.
Like, you're not a fishing guy.
No, I'm not a fishing
guy. Sure, you are. You like it.
Yeah, I like fishing.
See, I think that I thought it'd be entertaining. But
yeah, like we just Gary, won't invite Gary to the watch party when we have it.
All right,
it'd be a fun watch party. Chicken and pickle to have for the catch. No,
no, I don't think so.
Okay,
all right.
They don't do fish and chips there at Chicken and Pickle.
They do have some fish specials on Friday.
Mm. What relenting special? What is it? What's he talking about?
What are you talking about? Watch party for fishing?
Right.
I don't know.
Do you? What did you
I
think
like it,
of?
Marco. I like it, Marco.
Leon Edwards' win over Kamaru Usman.
I think it's. I don't know. It's tough to say. I think they need a new champion at 170. Yeah, I don't think Leon's like the. I don't think he's like a real. Obviously, he earned it, but he's not like that personality that you want as a champion.
Like I don't look forward to watching him fight.
It doesn't.
Like, I don't want to watch him fight.
It's not exciting. I mean, it's the same thing with Kamara. Like, his fights were always boring.
Right.
Colby, like, do you think Colby deserves a shot?
No, but I know it'll be an entertaining fight if he fights.
I think Colby beats him.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't like him. But that's part of the deal.
Yeah.
But it makes you want to watch him fight because he's so unlikable, I'll watch him just because I want to see him get the hell beat out of him. Like I enjoyed watching when Usman just beat the pants off of him. You know,
it's fun when they really don't like each other in there. I think that makes such a big difference.
That's why I'm telling you to watch this fight on Saturday night because I know a lot of that hype and everything else that weighs crap. Caleb Plant and David Benavidez, by the way, who are the two of the best 168 pounders. They hate each other, and it's going to be a high level fight. And Benavidez, now that he's hopefully done with his drug problems and all the stuff out of the ring, they've been trying to put him in with Canelo for years and years. And now if he wins this fight, then maybe that's going to be the big fight in September.
Can't beat a true rivalry, man.
Oh, dude, it's
when people don't like each other, like at the end of that women's basketball game when the Texas player.
Oh, yeah, when she got Mally with her.
I love that. Like, that makes me want to go watch them play the next time.
I think the other girl told her, have fun in Miami, because there's,
is that?
Sent her down. She's intimating that she's going to spring break
because
she entered her season. Yeah.
I love that. You can't beat that in sports. I think we have too many nice guys in sports these days. We need some real evil people.
We need some guys that are willing to fight in the Starbucks parking lot. We need
some more of these a-hole boxing dads like Benavidez's dad who wants to challenge everyone to fight. No, this is going to be a really, really good fight.
Can't wait.
On Saturday night. We'll take a break back after this on WHB.